You are getting your man card pulled.
It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning. Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network.
Yeah.
And it's the weekend, and here we are in March already. Holy cow. That February just shot right by. The cold's maybe a little bit behind us, and the frigid stuff is. We had a little break this week where I was, and kind of snow melted, and
it's coming back today.
Yeah, that voice you just heard is the baritone of beer, or the scratchy voice of beer, and we're gonna be talking about that. That's Chaz Thompson. Barbecue Bob is on hiatus this weekend, so Chaz, he's a little bit under the weather, but just decided he'd sit in with me. So I really appreciate that, Chaz. You had a busy few weeks. We're going to cover that in the show. I got to tell you a little embarrassing one right now before we get too deep in.
I love this story.
Yeah. So here's what happens is I on Friday or on Thursday morning rather, I'm going to go to Detroit for work. I got to spend the night, and then I'm coming back. Right. So I company requires me to rent a car if I'm going to drive that far. So I go to Enterprise, pick up this little Buick something. I don't know. It's a nice vehicle. It looks kind of like a spaceship on the inside. The dash is like all lit up all the way across, and you're in a cockpit. So the guy, you know, he's giving me the we walk around, do the inspection. I get in, and I'm ready to go. And there's a little dial on a console. I turn it. Nothing happens. I'm turning it. I'm pushing buttons. Things are changing on the dashboard, but I'm not going anywhere, right? So I sat there, turned the dome. Took me a minute to find where the dome light was. I'm turning it. It's dark. I'm looking around. 5 minutes. I can't figure out how to make this car move. It was, and I'm like, I'll be damned if I'm going to go back in there and ask this guy how to put this car in drive. And but I had to, so it's, I get out.
It
after,
started though, right?
Oh, it was running. Yeah, he started, brought it up, drove it up, right, and then set me in the driver's seat. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is going to be embarrassing, but I got to go in because one, I got to go, and two, I have no idea how to make this car move. Turns out that you have to the turn signal on the right hand side lever. You have to pull it back and pull it down to go in reverse. And lift it up like you're turning right to go in reverse and turning left to go into drive. And it's on the turn signal.
Oh.
I'm like, are you flipping kidding me? I mean, it makes sense now when you know where it is, but it was dark in the car and you couldn't see in the light. Yeah, I mean, man, it was like, are you kidding me?
No stick shift.
No stick shift, no nothing shift. It was just on the turn signal. Weird, man.
I miss my stick shift.
Yeah, exactly, brother. That was a little rant. Sorry about that. But you're starting
like
to feel my age when I can't get in a car and figure out how to put it in drive and make
Come
it.
Come on, George Jetson.
And it's a Buick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not in a rocket ship, you know, but whatever. Maybe I was. The technology has passed me by. That's a crazy thing. But so, Chaz, you've got a little bit of a scratchy voice. I'll tease some short answers, but you've had a busy 2 or 3 weeks. You did the, and I want to touch on all of this if you got the voice to do it. You did the International Ice Fishing Competition.
The World Championships.
World Championships.
Huge amount of people.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that because there's some great stories from there. And then also on the heels of that, the next weekend you did the West Michigan Beer Fest, right?
Well, yeah, Brewers Guild Winter Beer Fest.
Yeah, right. And that was at LMCU Park, right?
Right. Outdoors.
Right. Outdoors, right. So
I've been living outdoors for a month and a half.
Yeah, and that's maybe where the voice, scratchy voice is coming from. But anyway, tell us a little bit about the, because this was like 16, 17 years since we'd had this competition in America, right?
Well, it was 2013.
Oh, okay.
Was the last time that we had it. We had it in 2010 and actually got the gold medal.
Oh.
And one of the big privileges was there were a number of those gold medalists that were joining us as officials and helping out the old guys.
Nice.
And to hang with those guys. And then, you know, one of my other buddies, Dave Gentz.
Oh, yeah. He makes a Vexilar. If any of you guys are fishermen out there, the the little electronic device that you watch for fish in your hole was called a Vexilar, and he had one, a signature model of that, right?
Yeah, he's had several of those, and he also represents clam.
Oh, yeah.
Shelters and stuff.
Right.
And so Dave Gentz was there.
Wow.
Dave and his daughter hanging out with us and helping.
Dave's not a spring chicken either, is he?
No, he's like in his 80s.
Yeah. Cool that he made it all the way there.
Oh, he drove.
Yeah.
Dave's the man.
Yeah.
And I took him down to the local Kubota dealer where the sales guy there was. I thought he was going to faint when he saw Dave Gentz.
Obviously an ice fisherman.
He had an FL8 SE.
Right.
Which is like 25 years old.
Right.
In the Gentz pack.
Oh, okay.
And he wanted Dave to sign it.
Oh, nice.
And for a guy in his late 40s to have that kind of hero status of somebody.
Right.
Is amazing.
Well, that'll be passed down to his kids and his grandkids, man, because, you know, those are, I have that same one, as you know, and we took mine out of the pack and kind of modified it for my bucket. I get oohs and ahs on that, by the way. I mean, like, guys are like, holy crap, that's a great idea. And but that's for another story. But so, Dave, but you got to hang out with him too, right?
Oh, yeah. We've known Dave for a number of years, but it was just one of those things. He felt comfortable coming over and hanging out with us and the American team. And when we were out on the ice, there was just so much entertainment of people. The mayor and the chief of police of Lakeview told me they have a population of about 1,000.
Okay.
They thought there were 5,000 on the ice.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
We woke that little town up.
Right. And but you had beer tents, you had food trucks, you guys did it upright. And I mean, this was all over our local news too, that when it was happening, and you know, they were doing remotes from out there. This was a big deal, man. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the days when we were doing a demo day for the media, my job was just driving my side by side back and forth hauling reporters.
Yeah.
And they all asked the same question. So we're really on the ice? Yep, we're on the ice and we're not sinking.
Right, yeah. You had plenty, I'm sure. While you were
almost
there.
20 inches.
Yeah, yeah. So you could drive a vehicle out there if you had to, right?
Like
yeah.
Tamarack is a pretty cold.
Yeah, it's got a nice wide open approach to it. So, and we had a great winter for ice because we didn't have a lot of snow.
Right.
It didn't get on there.
And a lot of cold, yeah.
And it was cold.
Yeah, that really good black ice that you get about an inch below the surface, and then it's just clear and dark, and ooh, that's the stuff that is hard.
Several of the days when we were in the shelters doing the weigh-ins, you could see right through the floor and watch the fish swim by.
That's cool. That's cool.
The little south, or the guy from Zimbabwe that I had with me, he was a little bit freaked out.
Yeah?
Too cold for him?
Too cold and standing on water.
Right.
Yeah. Not something they teach you in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, you don't meet a lot of ice fishermen from that area of the world.
So. Right.
No, but we turned him into one.
Yay.
Yeah, right. It was. Did Zimbabwe have a team, or was he just there helping you?
He was there because we were using their software, and he works for a company called KeepNet.
Oh, okay.
That helped us track all of the buckets of fish that we weighed during the competition so we'd be able to score it.
Right.
And so they flew over from Zimbabwe, and he basically almost lived with me for a month.
Wow.
Where I gave him a lot of eyesight into the Michigan way of life.
Yeah.
When I cooked him walleye, he ate the walleye just up, and he thought he'd been kissed by Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you enjoy walleye like we do and you know how to cook it, that's a great experience for him. He's not going to find that in many places, so that's cool.
No, and the Europeans all had the same thing. Your fish tastes a lot better than ours.
It's the mercury, right?
Is right. That... Did you did you have like team dinners and things like that? Eating walleye and stuff?
Well, we didn't get walleye. We were staying over at the Doubletree, and we got a lot of beef and pork.
I see. All right. Well, that's cool.
Unlike Finland, where they fed us fish all three meals.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's a cool event, and thanks so much for working hard. You worked on that for a year or so to get that thing up and running. That was really cool. One other thing that you did was the Brewers Guild Beer Fest at LMCU Park. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. Stick with us. We'll be back.